Okay, so I want to start with a, I guess, correction from last year. So we talked about the Shaila of the bagel and the cream cheese and the proper order to do it. So we said that since the Gemara says that you should first make the bracha and then be botzeya, so I thought you should make the bracha while the bagel's whole and then be botzeya. However, the Aruch HaShulchan probably is against it. The Aruch HaShulchan is Simen Reish Beis Sif Yud Aleph. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes that even though it's true that you should be Boteya only after the Bracha, that's when it's going to be something that's relatively quickly. But when it's something that's going to take a long time, so then you should do it before the Bracha. And there he's talking about peros. Let's say if you're going to peel the fruit. So if you're going to have an orange that you're going to peel, you should peel the orange only before the bracha. The lo dami l'chitach hapas, shegomer achitach achar birkas hamotzi. It's not like cutting the bread, where we say first make the hamotzi and then cut the bread. Desham hapas she'ochal galoy lefaneinu, v'gamar achitach. Kirega, there the bread is open, it's available, and the only thing that's left to do is to cut it, and that just takes a minute. Whereas, let's say, peeling the apple, peeling the orange, or something like that, that's a bigger process. So, Mimela, I would think that he would say that in the case that we were talking about of getting the whole already and the like, that would be a bigger process, and you should do it before you make the bracha. Now, it's a bit of a chiddush because, as we noted, the Gemara says you should put on the liftan after the bracha, and besides Aruch HaShulchan, at least, I haven't seen anyone who limits, puts any limitations on this, and it's also not obvious. He's saying a bit of a chiddush, which is that the Aruch HaShulchan, from our sugya, the Rishonim in our sugya, you get the impression that maybe pas is different. In other words, dafka, when it comes to pas, there's an inyan of betzia, and that dafka betzia should be done after the bracha. And therefore, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, for example, these halachos are said with respect to bread. They're not said with respect to fruit. The Aruch HaShulchan, though, is equating them. The Aruch HaShulchan is saying, just like there's an inyan of shalem and betzia for bread, so too for fruit. But just like for fruit, you should only do it if it takes a moment, so too for bread. It was coming off of the Aruch HaShulchan. I mean, the Aruch HaShulchan is coming off of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, in Reish Yud Aleph, Sifkan Aleph, writes that the idea of shalem applies to other things, not just to bread. But it's worth noting that's a bit of a chiddush, because in the Rishonim in our sugya, and also the Shulchan Aruch, only mentions it with respect to bread. So I'm not arguing with the Aruch HaShulchan, but noting that it is a bit of a chiddush to equate fruit and bread. But Lemaisa, so the Aruch HaShulchan would say that, if it was just a question of cutting the bagel, or maybe cutting the bagel and dipping it in cream cheese, then better to do it when it's make the bracha and then cut it. But if it's a whole pachki, so then you should. I would think the best way to do it. Well, I guess you have two choices. You could either just make it when it's shalim and then cut it and put on a little cream cheese, just dip it in the cream cheese and have a bite, and then you can put the bagel. Or if you want the bagel to be complete, so then you could do that first. Okay. Now I want to go back to the question that we were talking about last time at the end of Shir, which we didn't quite finish, which was the question of the proper way of making the brachos on the matzah seder. So just to recall, our Gemara says that hakol modim, that on Pesach you should be meniach prusa tachas hashlema, you put the broken one under the whole one, and then you're botzeya, then you make the hamotzi, right? That's what the Gemara says. So what does that mean practically? So we had five opinions that we saw on that, just to review quickly. The Ravid says explicitly, and this was probably the mashmos of Rashi, that when you make the bracha, you make both brachos on the shlema. And Rashi implied that, in fact, the prusa, it should look like you're making a bracha on the prusa, because darko sh'oni b'prusa l'fikach tzarech sh'yeh ra'eh botzeya min ha'prusa. Should look like you're being botzeya min ha'prusa, but you don't actually have to be botzeya min ha'prusa. Both brachos are going on the shop. And the prusa is just there basically as a prop. That was Ravid and probably Rashi. The opposite of Ravid and Rashi. No, I'm going to you can unmute if you have a question. That was a view of Ravid and Rashi. The opposite view was Rav Menachem Mivina and Tosfos. He said, no, both brachos are actually going on the paras, on the prusa. Why do you have the whole one for it? That's just for Lacha Mishnah. Then, now both of those two opinions weren't concerned with chavilos. So they didn't mind that two brachos were on one matzah. But Tosfos said, no, there's a problem here of chavilos. So therefore, according to Tosfos, you have to have one bracha on one matzah and one bracha on the other matzah. Now, within that school of thought, there were two opinions. According to Tosfos, the whole matzah would be the hamotzi, and a broken matzah would be the alachilas matzah. And Rabbeinu Hananel, quoted by the Ravan, said, fakert, the whole matzah would be alachilas matzah, and hamotzi would be on a paris, because it's the derech of an ani to eat prusim. So those were opinions 3 and 4. Again, 1 and 2 are opposites, and 3 and 4 opposites. And finally, we have the opinion of the Ri, his main opinion, what he was rugged to do, which would he'd bake the hamotzi and the alachilas matzah on both of them. He would be botzei on both of them. It's not chavilos, because you're doing it on both of them. And the Rush said that this is the proper thing to do, latzeis l'chol adeos, right? What does that mean? Because the Rush said, really, the Rush thought, like Tosfos, that the hamotzi is on the whole one, and the alachilas matzah is on the paras. But he said, look, since there are those that say fakert, so latzeis l'chol adeos, you make both on both, right? And that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you make both on both. So that's pretty straightforward. But we ended off with a question last time. And our question was on the Shita of the Rush, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins like this Rush. The Rush says, you have to have the kazais from both. In other words, even though the Torah presumably says you only have to have one kazais of matzah at the Seder, and if you look in all of Shas, it only talks about a kazais of matzah. It says Hashana Shachal kazais matzah yatzah, right? But the Rush says you have to have two kazaisim. So why in the world would you have to have two kazaisim? That's the question that we asked on the Rush. So it's not our question. The Bach asked this question on the Rush. If you look at the Bir Halacha, he's really bothered by this. So what's the reason why you need two kazaisim? So we'll go out of order, actually. And we'll start with the answer of the Prisha. And this is also the answer that the Mishnah Brura says, and he quotes it from the Pri Chadash. And the answer is, why do you need two kazaisim? Misafik. What's the safek? Because maybe the alachilas matzah is going on the middle one, so you need to have a kazayis in the middle one. And maybe the alachilas matzah is going on the upper one, so you need a kazayis in the upper one. In other words, since you don't know which one is the alachilas matzah, and we're trying to be yote l'chol adeos, so memela, you have to have a kazayis of each. That's the way the Prish explains it. Now, and as I said, the Mishnah Berurah more or less accepts this explanation, but I don't see how it's possibly correct, because it goes against what the Rush says explicitly. If we look back at the Rush, the Rash writes, and this is in the Makoros I gave you, the Rash writes, let's read it together. Umeniach haprusa bein, and this is the Rash, this is the source for the Shulchan Aruch, right? The Torah more or less quotes it as well. Umeniach haprusa bein shtei hashleimos, umevarech ala shleima birkas hamotzi uvotzeya. Umevarech ala chilas matzah laprusa votzeya, v'ochol mishtei mikol achad kezayas. So you make the hamotzi on the top one, you make the alachil smatz in the middle one, then you take a kezias from both of them and you eat. And then he writes, harotza latza shidei kulam, then yivarech hamotzi v'alachil smatza v'achar kach yivtza mishtehen. If you want to be otza l'chol adeus, then you do it on both, right? But what's the implication? That he said you have to have two kezaisim even before he said harotza latza shidei kol adeus, right? So clearly, the reason why Nutu is nothing to do with Rotza Latze Shidei Kol Adeus. So I don't understand the answer of the Prisha, or the Bach, or the Mishnah Bura, or the Prichadash. So what other answers are there? So the Bach here has a fascinating answer. Again, Bach is Tuf, Ayin, Hey, Sif, Kut, and Gimel. These are all on these Makoros that I gave you. The Shalomar, the Savar Leila Rabbeinu, Rabbeinu meaning the Rush, but again, it's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Devadai im ein lo ela pachos mikazayas mevarech alav hamotzi. Aval kshiyesh lo kazayas pshita del chatchila tzarech kazayas. Wow. There's a new din, a din that we've never heard of before, that lechatchila, you should always make a hamotzi on a kazayas. In other words, it's true that even if you're going to have a crumb of bread, you make a even if you're going to have only a crumb of bread, you make a hamotzi. So therefore, we have a kasha. Why is it that you need to have two kezeisim, just have one kezeis from the alachilas matzah and a little crumb from the hamotzi one? Well, that's true. It would work. You would be yotze. It would be fine. But nevertheless, ideally, a person should at least try to have a kezayis every time they make hamotzi. That's what the Bach says. So therefore, I should have a kezayis in the one that I'm having hamotzi on. Now, even if you think that's normally true, there's an extra chiddush here. Because naniach, that it's normally true, you should have a kezayis. Here you are having a kezayis, right? You are having a kezayis. It's just that you're having kezayis from because of the mitzvah. So there's a double chiddush, right? Chiddush number one is that you should always eat a kezayis. And then chiddush number two is that here you need an additional kezayis besides the kezayis of the matzah. So you need to eat two kezayisim. Now again, the way the Bach is learning it, this is primarily a chiddush not in Pesach, it's a chiddush the whole year round. And that's the psak of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham over here in Sif Katan Dalid, more or less paskins like the Bach. And he says, the whole year round, you should have preferably a kezayis. And the Magen Avraham says this also, therefore, in Simen Kuf Samach Zayim. Kuf Samach Zayim is the regular halachos of Betziyas HaPas. The Ramah writes, they are very interesting. The Ramah writes that when you cut the bread, you should give everybody a kezayis. And the Magen Avraham says, why? And the answer is, for this halacha that we see in Hilchos Pesach, that you should always, l'chatchila, eat a kezayis. Now, what's interesting is that over... we'll get back to this point in a minute. Let's first finish the discussion on Pesach, and then we'll get back to the discussion the whole year round. So again, so far we have two answers to why you need two kezayisim. Again, the question is, why do you need two kezayisim? L'chora, for the hamotzi, you should only need a kol shehu. Answer number one, the prisha, because of a suffix. We didn't understand that answer in light of the rush. Answer number two is the bach, which is that there's a din that l'chatchila, you should always have a kezayis. The third answer we'll see is the taz. And the taz says that this is because of ein osin mitzvos chavilos chavilos. To me, this is the easiest answer. First of all, we already saw in Tosos that the issue here is chavilos, chavilos, right? And the point is that, now where is the, why is this chavilos chavilos? You're having two matzahs and you're having a bite from each. But no, if you don't have a kazayis of each, it's still chavilos chavilos. Why would that be? It's not because hamotzi requires a kazayis, because like we said, the pashtus is not like the Magen Avraham. Motzi doesn't require a kazayis. The pashtus is that that's because the mitzvah of Simchas Yomtov requires a kazayis. There's actually a debate. Does Simchas Yomtov require a kazayis of bread or a beitz of bread? But at least this rush would be assuming it requires a kazayis of bread. So we have two mitzvahs tonight. We have the mitzvah of Simchas Yomtov, and we have the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Enos and mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. So therefore, you should have a kazayis of each. So you should have a kazayis, two kazayisim of matzah. And maybe to sort of be miyashiv a little bit, the Mishnah Berurah's kasha. What did the Mishnah Berurah and the Biur Halacha ask? He said, if you really need two kazayisim, like the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, so it should say that somewhere in Shas. Answer is, because the requirement of the second kazayis has nothing to do with matzah. Alt matzah, you only need one kazayis. It's only alt the mitzvah simchas yantif and chavilos chavilos that you need a second kazayis. Now, there's an interesting nafgamina between these answers. Tada explained this, why you need two kazayisim. So one of the nafgaminas is a number of poskim, this is what Rav Eliashiv said, and Rav Shlomo Zalman was noted to say, said the following. This comes up a lot. Let's say at my Seder, right? So I have the matzahs, and I have to give out to all my kids. So I don't have enough. If I gave, right, I have the upper matzah, which is a whole matzah, the middle matzah, which is a half a matzah. I can't give a kazayas from the top one and a kazayas from the middle one to everybody, right? There's not enough to go around. So what do? So I give them a little piece of the top one, a little piece of the middle one, and then I take another piece of matzah and I give it to them, right? Separate matzah. Matzah, as it were, from the box, right? And that's how they get a kazayis. So is there any point in now they're eating two kazayisim? So Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Eliezer said, no, now there's no point of they're eating two kazayisim. Even though the Shulchan Aruch says you should have two kazayisim, that's only if you have actually a kazayis on the upper one and a kazayis on the middle one. But here, where they're having a little piece from the upper one, a little piece from the middle one, and basically the rest from the box, so then there's no point in they're eating two kazayisim. Because anyway, it's not from the top, not from the middle. Now, why are they saying that? Because they're learning like the Mishnah Berurah, that the reason for two kazayisim is the suffix, which one is the ikar, the top one or the middle one. So if you're not anyway getting from either one, then there's no point. But if you think that the Taz's answer is correct, that the real pshat is because of chavilos chavilos, so then it doesn't matter. Then they still need to eat two kazayisim, otherwise it's chavilos chavilos, right? So I understand the psak of Rav Eliashiv, but it's based off of the Mishnah Berurah. I just don't understand the Mishnah Berurah's psak. I'm probably missing something. But it would seem to me that a good case could be made that you should have two kazayisim even if there's not enough. It's interesting. Rav Moshe is quoted as saying, since he also agrees that there's only a point of two kazayisim if you have one from the top, one from the middle. So he said, therefore, you should have enough people that everybody would be able to get one from the top and one from the middle. Okay, so that's the din in terms of Pesach. What about the din in terms of the rest of the year? Is there an inyan of eating a kazayis? So let's just chazer what we've seen so far on this topic. So the Magen Avraham was Midai, or sorry, the Bach, I should say, Magen Avraham quotes it, the Bach was medayek from the fact that the Rosh says you need two kazayisim, that you see from here that generally speaking, hamotzi requires eating a kazayis. So we were trying to understand, why is that? We know you make hamotzi in a kol shehu. So this goes back to a general question, which is how much bread, if I'm making hamotzi and giving out bread, how much do I have to give everybody? So we'll get to Shabbos in a moment, Kula Sharyusa, but how much you have to give during the rest of the week. So the Rambam writes, Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel, that I shouldn't give a small piece, Lo Yivtza Prusa Ktana. Why? So the Beis Yosef explains, because the Gemara says in Brachos, the Baal HaBayis Botzei, the Baal HaBayis should be the one who cuts the challah and gives it out. So he'll give out generously, right? If you have a guest over, you could be mechabed your guest with the zimun, but you shouldn't be mechabed the guest with hamotzi. Why not? Because he's not going to be generous, because you can't be generous with somebody else's food, right? So the Baal Bais should be the one that's botzea, so he'll be generous. Now, so therefore the Rambam says you shouldn't give out a little, you know, a stingy piece. You should give out a nice piece. How much? How much is that? So the Rambam doesn't say how much. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Rokeach and Yerushalmi that shir betzia is the Amri Kezayis. This the Amri Pachos Mekezayis. Some say Kezayis, some say less than a Kezayis. So it's Sarchian a little bit what they're arguing about. And if you look at the Darkei Moshe, he writes, no again bepachos mekezayis. The minig is less than a kezayis. The minig is you get that less than a kezayis. But if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, kuf samach zayin aleph, the Rama writes that you should give everybody a kezayis. Now, when I saw that Rama, I thought, what's the reason to give everybody a kezayis? I thought that was just being having ayin yafet, just being generous, right? Like we saw from the Beis Yosef. That's what I would have thought. But the Magen Avraham writes, L'chora mashma, this is again Kuf Samach Zayin, Sifkat Zayin, and we're going to have Ram. L'chora mashma, D'chiyuv hu L'chol Kezayis. Sounds like if you have to give everybody Kezayis, there's a chiyuv to eat a Kezayis. V'chein mashma reish simen taf ayin hei. That's what simen taf ayin hei says. What's taf ayin hei? That was what we started with, the din of Pesach. They have to eat two Kezayisim. So why do you have to eat two Kezayisim? It must be because you have to eat a Kezayis. We're going to have Ram writes, the low race, you know, Agim Kane. I don't find people doing this, right? You'll notice sometimes you give out the challah on Shabbos even, and people will take a bite of challah and they'll put it down and they'll start schmoozing. You know, hopefully they'll eat a kezayis at some point during the meal, but lav davka immediately, and even during the week maybe they don't eat a kezayis. So the Rama, the Magen Avraham says, I don't see people doing it. Mikol makom yesh lahachmir l'chatchila. The Maisa, the Magen Avraham says, ideally you should try to eat a kezayis. So what's the idea? Why do you have to eat a kezayis? Even though, again, you can make a bracha on less than a kezayis. So why do you need to make a kezayis? So what's the Magen Avraham talking about? So the Dagomir Vava, well, before we get to the Dagomir Vava, the Mishnah Berurah says like this. He's a little less fancy. V'yesh omrim od de belav hachi time agam came tov hu l'chatchila shiochol adam kezayis be'ez birkas hamotzi. When the Magen Avraham says you should eat a kezayis, it means you should eat a kezayis immediately. So you have to eat a kezayis immediately. That's what the Magen Avraham is saying. So why do you have to eat a kezayis immediately? That's the shaila. So the Dagomir Vava says something over here absolutely astounding. It says, why do you have to eat a kezayis immediately if, after all, even less than a kezayis requires hamotzi? He says, the reason is because if you don't eat a kezayis immediately, then you can't eat other stuff afterwards. In other words, to eat other things afterwards, based off of this achilas hapas, then you need to eat a kezayis immediately. Why? She'ikr birkas hamotzi kai al masha ochal takef lebracha. The motzi goes on what you eat immediately after the bracha. Masha ochal acharkach niftar v'nigrar achar achila zeh. That which you eat afterwards is nigrar achar. We're going to talk about this a little bit later. But the way he's reading it, understands that it is the ikr bracha goes on what you eat immediately. Everything afterwards is nigrar. That's why you can't speak between the bracha and the initial achila, but after you have that initial achila, then you can shmooze all you want. Why? Because of greira. So ikalameimar shemachal b'shas hamotzi pachos mekezayis ein achila zu chashuva. If you eat less than a kezayis originally, that's not a chashav achila. Sheyigra acharav mashi yochal acharkach, that it'll include that which you eat subsequently. L'frat romana bracha. That's unbelievable. So the ikar bracha goes on what you eat immediately after the bracha. Everything else is included, alts greira. And therefore, if you don't eat a kezayis immediately, you can't eat more later. And l'chayra, if you talked, if you ate less than a kezayis and you talked, then you couldn't eat anything. You'd have to make a new amotzi. Truth is, it shouldn't be limited to bread, though. The Magen Avraham certainly sounds like it is. And the Mishnah Berurah, as we said, says, l'chatchila, you should be choshesh for this Magen Avraham. I mean, for this Dagel Mirvava. So ideally, you should eat a full kezayis of bread. Okay, kezayis doesn't have to be that big, but a kezayis of bread immediately after you make the hamotzi. And that's the way the Dagel Mirvava learns this Magen Avraham. And as we said, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, that l'chatchila you should be machmir. Now, I don't understand this Dagel Mirvava. I mean, besides being a chiddush in its own right, I don't see how he thinks that this could be the explanation of the Magen Avraham. Because remember, the Magen Avraham was Mitzayin Simen Taf Ayin Hay. And that was talking about the Leil HaSeder, the fact that you have to eat two kezesim. According to Dagel Mirvava, this din isn't shaykh to the Leil Seder, this din is shaykh the whole time. Because if it was a, it shouldn't apply to the Leil Seder. Because at the Leil Seder, anyway, you're eating kezayis right away, right? So the way the Dagel Mirvava is explaining the Magen Avraham is even a bigger chiddush. He's saying, even at the Seder, you have to eat two kezayisim. You couldn't eat your second kezayis if you didn't eat the first kezayis. So even though you're eating kezayis, they're still not going to be greira. So that's a very big chiddush. But that's the psak of the Magen of the Dagel Mirvava. That's his understanding of the Magen Avraham. Even if you don't go as far as the Dagel Mirvava, the Chai Adam says something similar, though not quite as vite. The Chai Adam says that only achila chashuv of pas will pater other things, and therefore it's roi lachol kezayis. In other words, right? Let's say I'm having a chicken, and I have less than a kezayis of bread. This is the Chai Adam in Klal Mem Gimel Sif Yud Beis. It's only when I have a kezayis of bread that my hamotzi will cover my chicken. Now, obviously, there's a difference between the Chai Adam and Dagel Mirvava. According to the Chai Adam, l'chora, you don't have to eat it immediately, like the Dagel Mirvava says. You just have to make sure that you've eaten a bread, a kezayis of bread, before you eat your other things. According to the Dagel Mirvava, you have to eat a kezayis of bread immediately. I think even according to Chai Adam, if you're miskaving to eat a kezayis of bread, it would potter other things, even if you didn't eat the kezayis of bread yet. Because the point is, you have to be koveya suda al lechem. Okay, there's more to say on this. The Prima Gadam is another possibility. The Rebbe Kibeger is another possibility. But for now, we'll leave that. So here we have, again, we've talked about how this all started from the sugya, our sugya, that how you do betziah on Pesach. But that brought us to a general shayla of betziah sapas, which is also discussed in our sugya. Okay, so now turning to Shabbos. So the Gemara says on Shabbos, Rabzeira have batza akula sherusa. So what does that mean? So according to Rashi, this means that it's a new topic. Previously, we were talking about Lecha Mishnah, and there was a debate. For Lecha Mishnah, do you have to be botzei two kikros? That was Rabbi Abba's view. Or to hold two kikros, but just be botzei one kikar, one loaf, and that was Rav Ashi's view. And then Rav Zera is a new point, a new discussion, and he says that you have to be botzei akula shirusa, which means that a piece that's big enough for the whole meal. And the Gemara says, one second, that makes you look like such a Rav Sinusa. You look like a pig. In other words, imagine I go ahead and I cut off a giant slice for me to eat. So that doesn't look so nice. And the Gemara says, well, no, not really, because since the whole week long you don't do this, just on Shabbos, so Mimela doesn't look like you're Rav Sinusa. That's the way Rashi reads it. Now, what does it mean, according to Rashi? And the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Rashi. We'll get to the Rashba in a moment. But the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like Rashi. What does it mean, Akula Sherusa? So I think I once heard from Rav Schachter that what this means is that when you cut your bread, you should cut off your first cut, which is the betzia, right? So your first cut, the betzia, should be Akula Sherusa for all the meal. So what does that mean? That means, let's say I'm going to eat 2/3 of the challah. That's not just me, my whole family, right? It's a big challah, and there's 6 people, let's say. So you're going to eat probably 1/2 or 2/3 of the challah. So that means when you cut the challah, or in Adam's case, when you pull apart the challah, so you should cut enough for the whole meal. In other words, if I'm going to eat 2/3 of the challah, so I should cut 2/3 off. That's on boteha akula shirusa. I cut off enough for the whole meal. In other words, as opposed to, I think what many people do is when they cut the challah, so they cut off one piece, and or sometimes they don't like the end piece, so they cut off like a little bigger piece, and then they'll cut off the end piece and they'll eat their piece for themselves. No, that's not the way to do it. That's not akula shirusa. That's just cutting off one piece for yourself, right? Rather, what should you do? You should cut off the amount for the whole meal. That's batza kula shirusa. And then you could cut it up into smaller pieces for everybody to have a nice size, generous piece. But the bitziah is enough for the whole meal. That's why Rosh Hashanah says it. Now, does that mean you should cut up all the slices before you give them out? Or you should... you should just cut off one piece. We'll get to that soon. But that's what batza kula shirusa means. So you cut off. When you do batzia, you do enough for the whole meal. The Rashba disagrees with this. He has a number of kashas in Rashi's pshat. And he says, no. Batza kula shirusa means that you're botzea on all of the loaves that you're going to use for that meal. And this is probably more likely when, you know, let's say it's pita or rolls, but let's say pita. So let's say for the meal, you're going to use 6 pitas, approximately, right? You have a 6 pita, 6 people, or 8 people, or 10 people, approximately 6 pitas for everybody. So how should you do it, right? You might have thought that you just do hamotzi lechem mishnah on 2 pitas. No, the answer is you pick up all 6 pitas and you make your bracha and you do hamotzi and you cut your boteya all akula shirusa for all of them. So you cut your 6 pitas at the beginning. Your boteya akula shirusa, meaning say your boteya on all the loaves that are going to be used for that meal. So if you follow the Rashba's reading, and the Vilna Gaon Paskins like this Rashba, even though it's not cited in the Shulchan Aruch, if you look over there right at the beginning, he Paskins this way. So there's really, I think, the way to read the Gemara is there's 3 opinions on this question. First, there's just Rav Abba's opinion that you have to be boteya on 2 kikros, right? You have to cut both breads. That's part of Lechem Mishnah. Lechem Mishnah doesn't just mean to hold 2 breads. It means to be boteya on 2 breads, to break 2 breads. And then Rav Ashi said, no, Lechem Mishnah doesn't mean you have to break both breads. You should hold both breads, but you only have to be boteya on 1 of them. And then we have Rav Zeira's view, which is even further, that you have to be boteya kula shirusa, right? Which means all 6 breads if you're having 6, right? Now, typically, since most people don't use more than 1 loaf, more than 2 loaves per meal, there's not going to be enough kamina between Rav Abba and Rav Zeira. Right, if you're only going to have 2 challahs total at your lechem mishnah, so then Reb Zeira and Reb Abba are the same opinion. They have to be both say on both of them. This is not, as I said, the Pesach Shulchan Aruch. You'll see, though, many people follow the Minhag Agra, and therefore, when they do Betzias HaPas on Shabbos, what they do is, you know, they hold both loaves for Hamotzi. Right, we already saw earlier, Tosa said you should put all 10 fingers on the bread for the pasuk from Berchinashi, and then you cut both loaves, and then you would give them out. Okay, turning to the top of the next page, Mem Amud Aleph. So the Gemara says that that Havei Melach isn't a hafsig. Now we'll see shortly. Obviously, you should bring the salt preferably before the bracha. In other words, even though the idea of this Gemara is that things that are needed don't create a hefsek, but ideally you should rely on that. So you should bring the salt beforehand. But if you didn't, So then you could say Havei Melach after Hamotzi, before you eat. Now, Tosfos just makes a point, which is that Ve'en Anu Regilin Lahavi al HaShulchan Lo Melach Velo Liftan. We don't usually have Melach or Liftan on the table. Depas Mishum Depas Shalanu Chashav Varehu Kihad Amar Besamoch Les Dein Sarach Boshesh. That if you have bread, which doesn't really require salt, so then you don't need to put salt on it. Our bread doesn't require salt, for one thing, because our bread has salt in it. When typical breads, salt is included in the ingredients of the bread. So you don't need to add additional salt, generally speaking. So therefore, we don't need to have salt. Mihu, Rabbi Menachem Ayimedakdek Me'od Lahavi Melech Al HaShulchan. Rabbi Menachem, I don't know if this is the same Rav Menachem Avina that we had in the previous Tosfos. Rav Menachem would be a medakdek to have salt on the table. Me'od. Why? Kedisa b'medrash. K'she Yisrael yoshven al shulchan u'mamtinen zeh l'zeh ad sheyitlu yedehen. When people are sitting around waiting for everybody else to wash. V'hein below mitzvos. Hasatan mekadrig alehen. Uvris melach megin alehen. So what exactly is this kitrug, right? So I think the pshat is very simple, that usually a Jew never sits around and does nothing, right? We're always learning or doing mitzvos or the like. So when do we ever sit down and do nothing? Well, right now, when you're waiting for everybody to finish washing, right? Because what could you do? You can't do anything. You can't do mitzvos now. Pashtus, you can't learn. We'll talk about that in a moment. So you're just simply sitting around and doing nothing, right? So therefore, the halacha is that this is a kitrug. It's an unbelievable thing, right? It shows you how the kedushas man, how much he should use every moment of time. So that's what it says, that when we sit around and we do nothing, even though, you know, we're doing nothing because there's nothing really we can do, right? We're a little stuck. But even though we're sitting around and doing nothing just because we're waiting for 10 seconds or 50 seconds for everybody else to finish washing, that's a kitrig, and therefore we need the bris melech to be megan. Now, it's interesting. If you look at the Magen Avram, Kuf Samech Zayin Yud Dalid. So it's going on this this din, the Ramah Paskins, that the reason why we have Malach is because of the Kitrig. Kasa Beis Yosef Kshi Yisrael Yoshin, right, Umamtinin Zeh Wow. What does that mean? What does he mean? Oh, that's interesting. I had a theory, but let me just look something up for 1 second. Kuf Samech Vav Beis. So Kuf Samach Vav Beis, right? The question is, are you allowed to be mafzik between Al Netilas Yadayim and making Hamotzi? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Omrim She'en Tzarech Lizaher Milahafzik Bein Netilas Hamotzi V'yesh Omrim She'tzarech Lizaher V'tov Lizaher. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you should be Nizhar. So the Shla writes that a person should always daven before Netilas Yadayim for Mizonos. And he forgot, so you should daven before Hamotzi. And the Magen Avraham writes, some of the minog even to say, Mizmor L'daven Hashem Roi Lo Echzar, between Al Netilas Yadayim and Hamotzi. And then he quotes the Marshal, who says, let's say they ask you Divrei Torah, Mutter Lahafsik. And the Bach says, Asur Lahafsik B'Divrei Torah. And even Yeshiva is a Hafsik. So, fine. So Lemaisa, the Magen Avraham writes that Tov l'daber divrei Torah m'leishe batel, that better to speak divrei Torah between the al netilas yadayim and the hamotzi than to do nothing. But better not to be mafsik. But if you look at the Kaf HaChaim over here, so the Kaf HaChaim there says that you shouldn't be mafsi, quotes Yesh Omer, that you shouldn't be mafsik in Divrei Torah between Netilah and Hamotzi. You shouldn't be mafsik. And that's what we assume probably, Lemaisa. So that's the point. This is a kitrig, because it's a kitrig, because you can't speak in Divrei Torah, and you can't do mitzvos. So what are you going to do? So we have the melach, and the melach is the bris melach is a savior from that kitrig, right? How does melach save us? So I saw the over here that the machzah shekel sounds like it lav dafka melach even liftan, but it doesn't sound that way from the medrash. It sounds like from the medrash it's dafka bris melach, right? So, but why does the bris melach save us from the kitrig? So I thought maybe I'll derech drush like this. What does bris melach mean? So Rashi al Torah says bris melach is that when people would make a covenant, a treaty, so they would use melach, they would use salt. Why would you use salt? Because salt lasts forever, right? It's a preservative. It keeps things. It doesn't rot. So, and the idea is that when you make a covenant with someone, when you become their friend, your ally, so you use melach to symbolize the eternity of that friendship, right? So what does that have to do with this? Because over here, why are you waiting? What does this Tosa say? Why are you waiting? You're waiting for everybody else to finish washing. In other words, you're being kind and generous and patient. Maybe the Baal Bai should be do it last, but somebody's going to wait. So the point is that what is goes against the kitrig? The kitrig is you're just wasting your time. And the solution to the kitrig is, yeah, but I'm doing it to be nice, to be generous, to be gentle, not to rush people. And that is mevatel, the kitrig. It is a kitrig when we can't do Torah and mitzvahs, when we just sit around. But so what's the bittel to the kitrig? To have salt, which is to remember the importance of being patient, of being kind. And that's how you're mevatel, the kitrig, that comes from the bittel zman. Besides this reason why we have salt at the table, that Tosfos quotes, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Shibulei Aleket, another reason, this is actually the more famous reason, that we have salt on the table because the Shulchan is Domeh L'Mizbeach and Achilas to the Karban, and it says, I'll call Karbancha Takrev Melach. Now, the Nafkamina is, according to that reason, even if you're eating alone, you should have salt on the table. Whereas if you hold of Tosus's reason, you only need salt at the table if there are other people and you're going to be waiting for each other. Lamaisa, the Rama brings down both reasons. So Lucharu, we should be machmir, and we should have salt on the table, even if you are eating alone. Most people are only makbid about this on Shabbos, but Batzimit has nothing to do with Shabbos. I assume the svara is if you're only makbid about it on Shabbos, it's because you think that it's only on Shabbos that people wait for each other. Because usually during the week, everybody will just make their own brachos on their own. Nobody's waiting for anybody. So you don't have to do that. If there's kfiyas, one person does make the bracha for everybody. But typically, that's not the case. So therefore, must be that the people that only do this on Shabbos, it's because they think that be'etzem we follow Tosos' reason and not the Shibulei Halakhot reason. Okay.
Why can't you think and learn? Why is it?
But the Kitfer Kam, most people don't think and learning. I think you're correct that even if you don't hold in the Magen Avraham, and you think you hold like the Kaf HaChaim says that you shouldn't talk in learning, but thinking and learning would be okay.
Or looking the safer.
I don't know. If it's not going to cause a delay, it should be okay. Mm-hmm. In other words, is there a concern you're going to get carried away with your safer? I don't know, maybe. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people start looking at the safer, then 3 hours later they wake up. So I think for most people it's probably okay to look at a safer. As we said, even talking isn't pashut that is us, or certainly not talking and learning. The Magen Avraham sounds like he thinks it's better not to talk and learning because it's better not to be mafsik, but talking and learning is mutter. So l'chora, if there's no concern that you're going to get carried away, it should be okay. We could look. Let's see if...
And singing a niggun, like people like singing together, waiting for everyone to finish.
Is singing like talking?
Niggun, you know, ay ay ay. Is that?
Yeah. So what the Velt assumes is that talking, that if you don't say words, then it's okay, right? The only problem is. The song. So I'll read you what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. This is, I'm going back to Kuf Samech Vav. The Mishnah Berurah writes that according to the Machmirim, even Divrei Torah is a hafsek, v'tzarech lizayr, levad me'advarim sheheim l'tzarech suda, demotar l'hafsek l'kulei alma. So l'maisa, the Mishnah Berurah is machria l'hachmir, namely that even talking in Divrei Torah is Aser, like we saw from the Kaf HaChaim. Then he talks about this question of, are you allowed to daven then? As we mentioned before, the Shlach said you could daven then. And the Mishnah Berurah is not so into that. V'yoser nachon shiomer acharchi las berachas hamotzi. Really, you shouldn't even daven then. You should wait till after hamotzi. Rav Moshe writes that if you, since the Mishnah Berurah says ideally you shouldn't daven, so are you allowed to daven in your heart? You don't say the words, you just think about them. So the Rav Moshe is machmir. Orachayim chelak beisim in menches. Pasha she'aser. She'afilum tfilaso haguna v'yalamazon. It's aser because it's a hafsek. And you'll say, what if I always do this? So then it's bal tosef. Why? Because you added on a new tefillah. Adding on tefillos is bal tosef. That's very big chiddush because the shlaz is minuk to daven then. Moshe is very machmir. Moshe is very, very machmir. He thinks also, if you do talk, you have to wash again maybe, which is not the pashtas. It's a different tshuva. So, Lais, I think according to Rav Moshe, maybe even thinking and learning would be aser, because he thinks davening in your head is aser. So maybe thinking in your head is aser, and the sefer as well. Not sure. So what about a nigun? He doesn't say what a nigun is. So people that make nigunim say, look, it's there's no words. It's saying nai, 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 nai. So nai, nai, nai isn't a word, right? That's what they're assuming. I don't know. If you're a follower of Moshe, I don't think it's so pashut. Follower of Moshe, it's not so pashut. Certainly, you know, it would be wrong to go on in the niggun once everybody's there. There's, let's say everybody sat down, but you're in the middle of the niggun, right? So you finish the... you finish that piece of the niggun, that lahara, that would be inappropriate. My grandfather used to hum, though. All right.
Can Rebbe clarify the meaning? It's not pashtus that you'd have to rewash if a person spoke with mamash hafsek,
like something. Because the idea is takef lenatila. In other words, the point is that you can't, we're afraid that you'll be, you'll lose your shmiras yadayim. Adrabah, really the Gemara says that a person can make al natilas yadayim in the morning and be masna and it could work for lunch, even though it's 5 hours later, right? In other words, the hefsik that we're talking about here between the al natilas yadayim and the hamotzi is not like the hefsek that we're talking about in this sugya between the bracha and the eating. The hefsek between the bracha and the eating is a formal din of hefsek. Here, the idea is that you need to be nizhar geshmir sayadayim. In other words, you have to make sure that you don't like scratch yourself in a dirty place between the al natilas yadayim and your hamotzi. So the Gemara says, takef lenatilas yadayim suda. Mm-hmm. And according to one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, that means that you shouldn't even be mafsik with speaking. But l'chatchila, even shehiya, right? The Rama writes, emshah kadehi l'chaf beis ama, Mikri hefsek. So waiting the time it takes to walk 22 amos, that's not very long, you know, 30 seconds, is a hefsek. Now, the post can say that if you're waiting because you're waiting for the other people to wash, that's okay. That's not a hefsek. Though the Mishnah Berurah elsewhere writes that if you're talking about a place where it's a big meal, you'd have to wait for a very long time, it's better for everybody to make their own hamotzi if that's possible. In other words, let's say you're having shavu brachos and there's, 30 people. So maybe you'd think, I'll get one of those big giant wedding challahs and I'll make hamotzi for everybody. So that's not right. The Mishnah Berurah says, no, in that case, better give everybody their own role. But when we're talking about a family, 10 people or whatever it is, that's okay. Even though it's more than 22 amos sometimes. The Chazanish says that's not a problem. But let's say you did talk. You shouldn't have talked, but you did. So as I said, Rav Moshe, right? The Chazanish says you don't have to wash again. Make a redin, you don't have to wash again. Because Lamaisa, there you were makbid on your shmir sayadayim. Rav Moshe, Or HaChaim, Chelek Bei Simen Rat Mem Ches writes that you do have to wash again. So, everybody, I think, has heard of that if you talk, you have to wash again. So, and then people learn a little more. They learn the Shulchan Aruch and they think, oh, that's just a joke. But Rav Moshe didn't think it was a joke. Rav Moshe said the hell that you have to, according to the Siyesh Omer that we're choshish for.
I think Rav David Yosef quotes, I think in the name of his father or it was him, that they would speak specifically at that time to show that it's mutter to speak and it's not real hafsik.
Ha!
They want to show him that's the halacha. That people don't know the halacha and that's real halacha.
Okay, here. It's not just the Mishnah Berurah that says you shouldn't speak Divrei Torah. The Kaf HaChaim also says you're not supposed to.
Right. So, I mean, they might be saying, like, Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. That's not what Shulchan Aruch holds. And they're like, we're always mocked to show that that's not that.
Okay. The Magen Avraham is Makel, as I said. The Magen Avraham thinks you're allowed to, you shouldn't, like, you should try to avoid it, but you are allowed to speak in Divrei Torah. So I guess Rav Avadi held like Rav Magen Avraham. So the Shulchan Aruch itself, it's not clear. He says it's Tov Mali Zahir. You shouldn't be Mafsek. So I'm not sure how you know from the Shulchan Aruch that he would be Mako.
Is speaking for sure Hafsaka, or meaning some people would say that speaking is not necessarily Hafsaka?
Well, what does he mean?
I don't know, maybe doing something else, maybe like doing a real action. I don't know. I never learned this. Like, I didn't look inside to see how he explains it and why, what he thinks. So I can't say right now, but I definitely think it's one of the things I've heard. It might be that he does think it's better, it's best, but I think because people are saying it's usher, he wanted to show that it's not true.
It's like our Gemara that we saw earlier, that a Talmud Chacham teaches the halachas through his actions, right? That's why Hamotzi is better. Kamash Malan Helchasa.
Right, that's a thing, yeah.
The way the Mekilim are Rabbeinu Yoel. It says, "Ein lachush al hafseik be netil la motzi kevan shashulchan lefana v'daitu lecha lochashav eschadas." Aye, what about the Gemara that says, "Takef l'netil bracha"? That's talking about my machronim. That's the psak of the Rif and the Rambam. So it's interesting, and I guess. Maybe that's why Mikra Adin the Mechaber is Mekel. He just says Tov Lizar, because the Rif and the Rambam Lameisa were Mekel. But the Yerushalmi sounds like it's also going on Bracha Rishona. Fine. Okay. Well, now we're out of time, and we didn't get to talk about the main thing for today. So I'm going to introduce the main thing for today. And then we'll have to finish it next time, at least in person. So the Gemara over here tells me that if you have a interruption between hamotzi and the eating that relates to the food, so then it's okay. And there's three examples. There's three opinions in the Gemara. We pass them like Rav Sheshes. So one is Tol Bruch, past the object that we made the bracha on. Two is Havei Melech, Havei Lifton. And finally, the biggest chiddush, in a sense, is Rosh Hashanah. You could even say Gavel Turi, go feed the animals, because halachas, of course, you have to feed your animals before you eat. So the Beis Yosef is medayik over here that, first of all, I guess what Tosfos also points out, which is that if you are mafsik, then you have to make a new bracha. If you're mafsik in something that's unrelated, and it's only if something is related that it's not a hafsek. And number two is that l'chatchila, you shouldn't be mafsek. So I want to raise a chakira with you, and I guess we'll bring Rios next time. So the chakira is like this. If you speak, right? So if you say something unrelated, right? You say, how are you? Or something like that. So then that's a hefsek, you have to make a new bracha. Is that medin hefsek or medin hesachadas? Now, what do I mean by those terms? The idea of hesachadas is simply that your mind was not focused on what you were doing, right? You took your mind off the achila, which is what you'd be doing. Or is it, no, a din and a hefsek. A din and a hefsek is more formal. It's like a chatzitza, right? Dine chatzitzos. There are certain things that are chatzitzos. And dibor is like a hefsek, just like a chatzitza. It prevents the tefillah, the mayim. So from the Gemara, I don't think there's a raya, right? You could say either way. You could say that speaking would be a hafsek or speaking would be hesach hadas. And gavil turi is neither hafsek nor hafsek hadas. Now, what's interesting is, if you look at Tosfos, Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Dimas L'Hilchosa, he writes hesach hadas. And if you look at Tosfos on Amud Aleph, he also says hesach hadas. And also, a third place where you find Tosfos say this is on Daf Yod Aleph. We'll talk about the sugya a little bit, Yod Aleph on the base in a minute. And Tosfos Rashi in all three places says hefsek. All three places says hefsek. Could be. I don't know if this is mochrach or not, but it could be they're arguing about this point. Tosfos thinks it's Medin Hesach Hadas, and that's why he always says Hesach Hadas, and the Rash thinks it's Medin Hefsek. Rash and Tosfos Rashi in all three places says the same thing, says hefsek. Now, that may be a good diyuk. It may not. I don't know if it's 100% mochrach. But I want to show some places where you see dafka in Rishonim, one mahalich is assumed versus the other. So I'll just mention one of them, and then we'll have to stop. It's from the Mochamos, Vama Mabez Bedape Arif. The Gemara over there, it's a Gemara in Yud Beis Med Aleph, has the following shaila. What's the halacha if you took a cup of beer and you started making a shahakol, and then accidentally at the end, not accidentally, you said, oh my goodness, this is a bari priya gafen. So you conclude with bari priya gafen. Now the way the Ramban reads the shaila is like this. You changed your mind at the end in error. It was a toes, right? So I said, baruch ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, shehakol nihya bedvaro bari priya gafen. That's the shaila of the Gemara. And what's the safek? So the Ramban says the suffix is like this: Im basar ikar brachas linan viyatsa shekvar hishlam birchaso kilchasa v'chazar betau shechazar v'siyem shelo karaoi lo havi chazar lapasla odilma afilu gazul basar chasimas linan. Now, what's the suffix? Is this chazara considered a chazara, or it's not considered a chazara? What's the tzad that it should be considered a chazara? Because you were chozer. What's it said? Not a chazar, because it was a chazar betaus, right? But what about the fact that I was mafsek? Now there's a maisa said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Nihya Bedvaro Bari Priya Gafen. Isn't Bari Priya Gafen a hefsek? The Ramban thinks it's pashut, it's not a hefsek. The only shaila is it a chazara? So what do you see? You see that the Ramban held that it's a din in hesach hadas, not in hefsek. And there's no hesach hadas here. Clearly, I wasn't meisiach das on what I am about to drink, right? So in this case, even though the words should technically be hefsek, they were totally unnecessary, irrelevant words. But still, I don't have to make a new bracha again. It's not like I said, how are you? How are you is hesach hadas. Right, I'm not thinking about the food I'm about to eat. I'm asking you how you're feeling. But here, I'm thinking about the food I'm about to eat. I just got confused, and I thought for a moment, oh my goodness, this is grape juice, right? And then it turns out I was wrong. So the Ramban is saying that this is not, since it's totally in Hesach Hadas, it's okay. That's what I thought was the pshat in the Ramban. Okay, I'm in the Ramban. So we'll stop here. Bezalel Hashem, we'll pick up with this topic next time. And I'll give you some more Mar Makomos on this. I think it's a very interesting topic, and it comes up in a lot of different contexts. So I will give you some more Mar Makomos on this topic. And then the other big topic that comes up in this Tosfos over here is the topic of Hefsek between Bracha and doing something. So Tosfos, for example, talks about shchita, right? If I'm mafsik, I do one shchita, and then so something like saying, "Oh, bring another animal," that's not a hefsek. But if I spoke, it would be a hefsek. If I said something that was unrelated to shchita, it would be a hefsek. This is a big machlokas Rishonim. Other Rishonim say mapitom. Just like speaking in the middle of a meal, right? That's the view of the Ramban, for example. Just like if I make hamotzi and I eat a bite of bread and now I schmooze with you that's okay. I could eat more bread. Okay, Magen Avraham maybe notwithstanding. So to a shrita. So we'll talk about over here all sorts of cases of hefsek. We'll talk about the case of shrita. We'll talk about talking in the middle of shofar. Do you have to make a new bracha? We'll talk about talking in the middle of bidikas chametz. Do you have to make a new bracha? We'll talk about sach ben tefila letefila tefillin, which is what Tosfos brought a raya from. Do you have to make a new bracha? And all sorts of other cases of hefsek some which Tosfos deals with and some which Tosfos does not. So we'll also, I'll give you my makomos for that also. So we'll pick up with that on Tuesday. Okay. I'll see you everyone tomorrow in the Beis Medrash, I hope.
Okay, thank you.
Looking forward.
Okay.